Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to We Are Everyday People. Try to feature and talk to extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Just trying to counter the image that we have that is projected about us all over the world. I'm back in action. Brought the show back. Been tired for a little bit, wavering back and forth. Kind of been a little hard on myself. I listen to talk radio a lot, and I have some shows with people who are hosts that I really admire, and I can only dream of being doing this job as well as they do. You know, granted, I'm not an expert. I don't know everything. What I do know, I know. What I believe, I believe. And I listen, and I learn every day. I'm also working on a web page with a written blog because I'm actually a much better writer than I am a talker, but I give it all I got. I have a lot on my mind. I think about a lot of things. I have a lot to say. I write a lot of stuff down. And anybody who knows me from Facebook knows that I can be, my guest will be coming on shortly said, I can be kind of out there a little bit. And I imagine I can. Even though I kind of see it as so many people being so far in there. And that's one thing I want those who know me, who are listening, who call and tell me, I mean, you think I'm a little too far out there? You know, give me some criticism. I can handle it. You believe me, you cannot be as hard on me as I am on myself. I can take it. If you feel where I'm coming from and you think I'm on point, you know, I like to hear that too. I can take compliments. I kind of like those. You know, mix it up or just let it flow. And we'll be bringing on my guests in a few minutes. But I just wanted to talk about a couple of things that I kind of follow the news, and I kind of just wrote some things down that, you know, either their head scratches or disappointments, or, you know, I wish somebody could take this person out of their misery because they ain't making no sense. We'll start with Monet Davis. young lady, proud of her, ain't mad at her at all. She showed some heart and compassion, and even though the gentleman from this other baseball team tweeted a message on online that, you know, how did this slut do such and such a thing, she still found it within herself to send a note, email from herself and her baseball coach to ask the gentleman's school to reinstate him onto the baseball team. I'm not mad at her, but I had to look a little sideways at her parents. Call in, let me know if you agree or disagree with her move, or if you think that maybe the parents should have jumped in and say, hey, you know, Monet has the heart here, but I'm sorry. They can keep him off the team. You know, just turning the other cheek later for that. If you want to call in, 718-664-9513, 718-664-9513. So I'm not mad at Monet at all. The young lady is she's a beautiful person. She's intelligent, articulate, and I think for herself she did the right thing, but I put a little weight and put a little weight on that. Ted Cruz for president. You know, the United States is a pretty big country, a lot of people here. And it's amazing the level of snakery that we have thrown their hat into the ring, running for the highest office in the country. And what's even more bizarre is that they have won a few times. It's incredible. It's incredible. That's a head cracker for me. Ted Cruz, okay, yeah, whatever. I know who's on the other side. They're promoting Hillary. Everybody's talking about Hillary. I don't know why. If you know why, call in, tell me what you think. You know, but if that's the best we can do, maybe we deserve a Republican president. Maybe we need to hit rock bottom to wake us up a little bit and realize that, you know, things ain't working out as well and things ain't getting as well as we might think they are. Maybe we need to take a step back to get that step ahead. I don't know. Well, man, George Zimmerman's in the news, man. You hear about what he said about the president? The president's pretty much saying about President Obama is inciting racism. He had Trayvon's mom and a couple of other parents of, you know, murdered kids at the White House, and he claims that while Obama is saying that, you know, our lives matter, George Zimmerman is saying, well, his life matters too. Well, I tell you what, I wish somebody could take him out of it. That's just my opinion. I'm not inciting violence. I'm just kind of wishing for it in this case. So anyway, but just a few things that I read. I just thought I'd share with you if you hadn't heard of them. Taraji Henson is taking her son out of, but she's not going to put her son into UCLA because he had been unnecessarily racial profiled. And, you know, she decided that she'll take him out and put him in an HBCU. And I'm all for that. You know, I wish that more of our youth would attend HBCUs. It's a hell of an experience. I'm actually living that experience through my youngest son, who attends University of Arkansas in Pine Bluff. I've been able to be around these kids, and I actually went to Mardi Gras with them last month. And I tell you, I had the time of my life. These HBCUs is nothing like nothing against the, you know, UCLA's and Florida State, University of Florida, Miami, those guys. But the HBCUs is a special. It's really something special. And if anybody out there who's listening had attended an HBCU, you know, call in and let me know where you went and how that experience was and how you would compare that to your understanding of what a non-HBCU would have been for you. What did you get as a plus that you wouldn't have got anywhere else coming out of an HBCU? I'd like to hear that. So, thinking about that across my mind a lot is, you know, as a people, when I say people, I'm particularly black people, are we too sensitive? Do we really want to know the truth? Because my experience has been, when told the truth, black people seem to lose their minds. Truth is not easy. Truth is not entertainment. It's rough. And I'm going to talk to my guests, and we're going to talk about that sensitivity, and you know, why is that, and you know, what can we do about it? I mean, we got to open up and be realistic. Call in, let me know, you know, how you feel about that. Are we too sensitive? And one final thought that, looking at my notes here, because this, you know, it's what I need to do. I'll get scatterbrained. Is TV just entertainment? Is television really just entertainment? Because, of course, lately everybody knows, and I don't want to make this about any particular show. I want to make this about, is television entertainment, or is it really having an effect on those who fail to see between the lines, who fail to read into the systematic programming in our heads and in our youth heads, and also fail to see the image that is being projected of us? The people outside of us are looking at us, and they get it. They see it. We don't seem to see it. We just say it's just a television show. It's just entertainment. Yes, it's that too. But I believe it's a whole lot more than just that. I believe it's a whole lot more than just that. I really want, call in 718-664-9513, 718-664-9513. I'd love to talk to a teacher. I would love to talk to a officer of peace. I'd love to talk to you, talk to anybody. Call in, express yourself. Hey, you think I'm out there? You think I got a lot of nerve? Well, call and tell me that. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to give you your time. This is not the mainstream radio show that you call and you wait online or wait on the phone for an hour, and then you get about 10, 20, 30 seconds to say your piece. No, you get a chance to speak your piece on this show, which is one reason why I decided to do this show, because I didn't like all the time people getting cut off, have good points, but the host is so busy trying to get a quantity of calls in that they don't pay attention to the quality of the call. You will have your say on my show. You will have your say on this show. That's how it's going to be run here. Okay, so I have been talking for 12 minutes, not even, well, about that long, and which is, I'm like, wow, me? Talk for 12 minutes. Okay. But now I'm going to bring on a brother who has been on the show before, one of my earlier shows. He came on. We had a good conversation. As a matter of fact, we crossed paths through Facebook, as I have with many people. And most of the shows I've had, the guests I've gotten, the idea to have them on the show by reading their timeline, by reading their responses on Facebook. I read them, and I have people in mind who I'm going to have to ask on the show, and they have no idea yet. But I read the timelines, and if you're saying something interesting and you're down to earth and, you know, making some sense, then, yeah, I'd like to have you on the show. If you want to come on the show and you have something you want to bring, if you want me to do a show with you, you know, hook me up on Facebook. Get with me on Facebook. Bledsoe. Just do a search on Keith Bledsoe, KEITHBLEDSOE, and send me a message, and we'll work it out. We'll work it out. You know, but this brother is representing Dunbar High School, coming out of there in, I believe, mid-80s. And he'll correct me when he comes on if I'm wrong. He is currently of Madison, Wisconsin, via Chicago. Very down-to-earth, conscientious brother. Very down-to-earth, conscious. But we have some great dialogues on Facebook. We agree, we disagree, but we always come to a very respectable medium. I want to welcome back to the show, Brother Jesse Evans. Jesse, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. But I think you added like 10 years to my life. 95, I graduated.
Oh, man. Well.
So I'm feeling okay, older. I want to say
Let's get that straight up front. I hate you. My bad.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing, man. You're great, man. Glad to have you back on the show. Glad to that you are my opener, my first show since I decided to not stop doing the show, and I couldn't. I mean, I can think of some good guests, but I can't think of any better guests good to have you back on the show, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Glad to be back on. Yeah, it was fun last time. You know, hopefully I'm not as nervous as I was the first time, but it was really fun.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you have daughters, okay? You
yes.
are a father, okay? What came to mind when you heard of the text message that was sent referring to Monet Davis as a slut? And, I mean, everything else, I could have kind of gone with it. Okay, well, she got rocked by Las Vegas. Okay, that's true. Why are they having her on Sports Illustrated or whatever? Or writing a book about, okay, well, that's your opinion. That's how you feel. Okay, fine. But when he went with the slut, that is the one that set me off, man. What did you feel about that? And how do you think you would have handled it?
Well, what I thought about was that, you know, you really can't be surprised, you know, with social media and things like that. You know, it's just the way that as a society that men, you know, continue to show little respect for women, and not just in America, but society as a whole. You know, we look at other societies and see how openly disrespectful the men are to women. And, you know, as America, you know, like other issues that we have in this country, say, for example, racism, you know, we have so many hidden issues with sexism that, you know, we can look down on other countries like, man, that's how they treat their women. And, you know, we pretty much got our own problems here also. And that's just... it's just the way men are, you know, I guess the way we're being raised to treat our women. I will say Monet Davis handled it perfectly. I mean, she couldn't have a better response, you know, I think her parents, I'm surprised they had no response, but if they did have a response, I would hope that they would have echoed what she said. You know, it doesn't solve anything to sling mud back. It's not going to help anything.
Well, I don't think that they should have just went off and went ghetto on them, if you know what I mean. I think that they should have at least said, I think that they should have said something a little more to the point of, you got to watch what you say, and sometimes you got to pay for your consequences and so forth. You know, I wish that the Las Vegas baseball team had been as polite when Jackie Robinson was stripped of the title, because the first thing out their mouth was JRW got what they deserved. See, so
yeah, that's you're, like I say, you know, you're dealing with kids, and you know, but when it comes to adults, I mean, it's almost better to take the high road. I mean, it played out perfect. He's not going to be back on the team. Nothing more, you know, nothing more can come out of it, even if they said what they said. And now, you know, it just looks great.
Yeah, it shows why
she was able to handle the big stage like she did.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she was, I ain't mad at her at all. I mean, I thought she was very, very good in her response. I just know me. Like I say, if I'm going to be out there, I may as well act like I'm out there. I can be out there sometimes.
I heard about, her mother said she had no comment. It's not really much. I guess it's not really much. I don't think it's really much to say. Nothing's going to be, going to come out of the situation.
No comment actually says a little something, too, actually, when you break it down. No comment says, you know what I'm thinking, so I best I say nothing. pretty much. I could take it that
right.
way. So, but anyway, I just thought after that, I don't want to go too far on that, because it's not really a major, you know, it's not affecting anything one way or the other. But, you know, just conversation, you know, sometimes you got to go barbershop and on the conversation and, you know, just talk about
right,
things,
right.
talk at the barbershop. So, let me ask you this. This is, I did a show when I was doing the show a while ago, and I asked a question. And are we too sensitive Are we too sensitive? I'm gonna just put it out to you right like that.
I think it's pretty hard to have serious conversations. And I think without having serious conversations, a lot of the issues we see, especially in our community, will never be tackled and never will be solved. You know, I mean, it, I always say, like, you have to be able to call a spade, and we just can't do that. You know, it's just so many subjects that we can't touch and say because people, and you know, using your word, get sensitive and you can't talk about it. And if you can't talk about these subjects seriously, then nothing's going to be done about them. Yeah.
Well, we agree on that. What do you find from your? Cause you bring up a lot of good points on your Facebook page. You dialogue with a lot of people. And is there anything in particular that you find that really sets off that insensitivity, for that sensitivity in folks more than other issues?
Well, you know, I mean, I personally think one of the biggest issues that causes so many issues in our community is just parenting. I mean, lack of parenting, kids raising themselves and parents just not being parents. I think that's one of the biggest issues, and that kind of separate a lot of the kids who grow up and, you know, can't read and write on level and the ones that do. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues in our community, outside factors, but you know, we can do something about the things, the internal factors like bad parenting. I mean, I can't do anything about another parent and how they raise their kids, but, you know, if you're going to have kids, you have to be a parent. And we just have so many kids that's raising themselves, and that's one of the bigger issues, but people don't want to hear that, you know. People.
Well, we're also in a time where the kids, the parents are kids too, and that's something that's really definitely another root cause.
That's another thing. That's another big one. You know, kids having kids is another thing you can't talk about. You know, which I think is just a huge problem. It's just you know, you just can't expect somebody to have a baby at 15 or 16 and be able to take care of it. You know. Just rarely happens. I mean, of course, as they get older, you know, and they learn more things and, you know, they could, you know, people get better themselves. But by the end, you know, they got a 15-year-old child that's stuck in their ways. You know.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to pick up on this parents, because I think it's also an issue with parents, but I'll go into it when we come back. We talk about parents, and we're eventually going to get into the issue with television, whether or not it is just entertainment or whether or not it is much deeper than that. And not just television, but music, movies, news, video games, church, you know, all the above. But Jesse, let's take a break, and we'll play an ad that we recorded for another show I'll talk about later that I actually co-produced and that we do on Monday with Brother Jimmy Williams. Called Real People from the Hood. It is pretty raw. It's raw. It's just what it is. That's on Mondays. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But we'll take a break now, and we'll come right back.
All right.
Hey, Chicago, for your next family reunion, call Jimmy Williams of Abstract T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunion expert since 1990, with photo T-shirts and custom printing available. You can see samples of his work on the internet. Search for JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. That's JimmyWilliamsOnline.com, one word. For families wanting reasonable prices, quality service, and good advice at making their family reunion a success, call Jimmy Williams from Abstracts T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunions should always be a happy occasion, and your T-shirts should reflect that. Call Jimmy Williams at 773 690-5366. Your T-shirt man.
Back, and I love our music. I miss our music. I want our music back. I want our music back. Period. As our music has gone, so have we. We got to get our sound back. Real music. Okay, Brother Jesse, we were talking about parents, and I agree, but the thing about it is anytime someone, especially television or media, talks about, you know, parents, you know, first, what they're really talking about is, you know, in the hood, you know, the poor folks and so forth and so on. But, you know, I take, when you talk about parents, I'm talking about, you know, George Bush, he had parents. You know, so Dick Cheney, they had. And how did they raise these fools? You know, your parents created this whole mess. You know, our parents can be more responsible, but our parents didn't send, you know, all these jobs overseas. We just didn't do this. We are victims. At the same time, we need to be responsible, because my thing, we have all these reasons to be united, but we use those same reasons as excuses to kill and maim each other. You with me?
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
okay.
Well, I guess Yeah, it's not what considered a job issue in the economy a little different, you know, because that impacts, I mean, the jobs and the economy pretty much impacts the whole country, you know, the country as a whole. You know, we all have to deal with that, you know. I mean, unless you're part of the 1% to 10%, then you're probably not impacted as much. But everybody else does, you know, no matter what part of the 90% bracket you fall in, you know, you're still pretty much at the mercy of those on top. I mean, so
right.
I don't know how to put that genie back in the bottle. You know, I guess one way would be if people actually went and voted. You know, but
and that's another bizarre thing. When you have the record low turnouts, especially in Chicago, and all I can do is shake my head at Chicago, because for 22 years they had that clown Daley and his mayor when Chicago had the majority population of a black people, and how do you explain it? I don't know. So all you can say is, well, then you deserve Daley. You deserve what you get. You don't get out and vote, so you're right.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, you know, to have such a free country or supposedly free country with voting. I mean, I know we have, people who feel about voter suppression, but for the most part, you know, I'm starting to even wonder if that's even a real concern, given that the people who can vote don't go vote. You know, so I'm wondering how many people will actually be impacted if you need an ID for it or whatever voter suppression technique they use. You know, people don't vote anyway. So, you know, is it just a fight just to be fighting? Because I'm guessing, you know, it's not going to impact things all that much.
And that's one of those facts that brings up some sensitivity in a lot of people. You know, you can argue with it. It speaks for itself. It'd be worth a try if everybody got out and let's see what happened. And we saw what happened. We got Obama.
Well, what happened is we got a black president with the majority of the people went out and voted. So
yes,
you
exactly.
know voting
exactly.
can make a difference. You know? So it's not like voting don't make a difference. You know, look how many people voted when President Obama ran. You know,
yeah.
I always say Bush screwed up things that much that, you know, he voted in a black guy for president. So that, I mean, that the President Obama election shows you what happened when people actually get behind somebody they believe in and actually go vote. Regardless of how people feel about President Obama, the people literally believed in what he was saying, and they actually went out to the polls, you know, and then you get the midterms where I'm not sure if people don't care to vote or they just don't like their options. You know, that might be one thing to really research and figure out, because it could be people just don't like their options. I mean, that could just be the bottom line, and it's like, why go vote when I'm not motivated to vote for anybody?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, especially when the Republicans are hardcore and with what they do, and they stick together. The Democrats seem to be very, not seem to be, they come across as being such a wimpish party, almost like they're a subgroup of the Republican Party. I don't know, man. I'm ready to. You know, we need a third party. Man, I can't see it. I hope I'm wrong, but we don't have a lot to choose from.
You have the 2016 election coming up, and the best people got is Hillary. I mean, unless you're Republican, then you probably got Jeb Bush. But I mean, you got a Hillary versus Clinton versus a Bush. Back, I mean, again, you know, we'll probably end up with one of those names again. You know, it's crazy that out of 400 million people, that will come up on the same garbage that we just recycled. it's amazing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for me. That's the best we can do. And we deserve to hit rock bottom. Maybe that'll wake us up, and then we'll get to voting. We'll take that step back, to get ahead, because right now, I'm really disappointed in what I see going on here, man. I'm really disappointed with what's happening, and I can't. To me, it's right in our faces, and it seems like we kind of too many people, I'll say, are just turning a blind eye to it. Like I said, they just want to be entertained. They want to just chill in that comfort zone, and if you take them out that comfort zone, and that's when that sensitivity starts spreading. So let me ask you this: lately, there's been a lot of conversation back and forth, and I've heard pretty much every angle. I don't know if I heard one any more than the other. I can't even say I've heard a popular angle. You know, I've had mine, and I've listened to the others, and I think it's pretty neutral, man. It's pretty stalemated as far as who believes television is just entertainment and who believes it goes into too much deeper than that. What's your feeling on that, and what type of responses have you been getting on your Facebook page as far as, you know, these recent shows on television and our reaction to them?
Well, I personally, and this is my opinion, is that television is entertainment. You know, they're gonna sell you what people want and what people are going to consume. You know, if people are not consuming it, then it's not on TV. So I think when we talk about young people and entertainment, the problem is a lot of these products that is corrupting our young people are not supposed to be consumed by young people. I mean, we have certain TV shows that they shouldn't be watching. You know, we have certain music they probably shouldn't be listening to. We have certain video games that they probably shouldn't be playing, you know, but they listen to them, they play them, you know, and that's really on the parents and not the industry, you know, because, you know, they have these ratings for a reason, you know, and if the parents are cool with the kids consuming them, you know, the industry is going to keep feeding them. And I'm not really sure how much the influences impact or change the mindset of adults. You know, I think the adults probably, when they was 14, 15, you know, what we consumed then pretty much built our attitude today. But I'm not really sure the industry is changing people's minds today that's already adults. And I don't think, you know, these industry things were built for probably kids.
But, yeah, I mean, you're right. The kids shouldn't be watching this and playing that and so forth. And that's to me, it's almost like that's absolutely correct. But that's also a perfect world, because they're going to see it. if they don't see it here, they're going to see it there. If they don't see it at home, they're going to be over a friend's house somewhere. They're going to see it there. They're going to see it on a somewhere along the way. It's going to be seen. And it just, to me, it definitely is influencing to the kids. I remember when I was a kid, the Three Stooges was on, and we weren't allowed to watch the Three Stooges because we go around poking each other in the eye, you know, and putting a fist on top of somebody's head and hitting it with the other fist, you know, stupid stuff, you know. Just,
right.
You know, so the influence is definitely there. I know when rap music was out, when they had the Sugar Hill Gang, and, you know, when it was fresh and clean, it was cool, it was all right. And then it started changing. And then Niggas with an Attitude came out. No. The Ghetto Boys came out with an album that was vulgar as hell. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. It was cool to me. At the same time, my oldest son, I saw that it was having a different effect on him. So I stopped it cold turkey, and I got the stuff out my house. But I knew that I couldn't keep him away from him because he just don't stay in my house. He goes other places. So I that definitely has an impact. And it's also proven to be influential, because that's why they don't have any positive shows on television, as they should.
Well, the thing is that, okay, I do agree that it has an impact on kids. I just don't know that you can blame the industry, because that's what people want to consume. So that's what they give them. You know, the thing is, I love the show Blackish. I think that's a positive show. you know, the black family, you know. One is a executive, the other is a doctor, you know, the kids, they always dispel stereotypes at the end. I mean, might not be the funniest show, but, you know, to me it's really a positive show, all positive images. Haven't seen anything negative on it yet, but, you know, nobody talks about it. Nobody cares, you know, even if people watch it. It's not social media worthy, you know. People just, you know, they're gonna consume what they like, and bad stuff sells. Whether it's rap, whether it's TV shows, whether it's, you know, anything of that nature, people just prefer to have that, and that's what, you know, if I'm selling a product, you know, you got to sell what the people want, or you'll be out of business pretty quick.
Well, they're definitely giving, unfortunately, that is what the people want, apparently, because the uproar recently, I mean, hell, if this is how people are reacting to what they are seeing, if this is what the entertainment that they want, hell, I guess it does make sense to put it out there and just give it to them. I mean, that makes sense.
You live in a capitalist system.
It's just a shame,
you
that's what
it
the
helps
people want.
The bill,
you know?
That's the one thing is that, you know, I mean, we can blame the industry, but, you know, it's like, I mean, you look at music, and there's a lot of positive rappers. You know where they're rapping at? At home. You know, they're not on the radio. They're not selling CDs unless they're selling them themselves, you know. But then, you know, you have, like, Lil Wayne's and, you know, all the hardcore rappers just selling out studios every... You know, and I'm sure it's the same with, like, rock music or whatever other type of music, too. I mean, it's just, you know, Marilyn Manson is pretty popular, you know.
Well, the little Waynes are the artists that the industry promotes and that the industry encourages. The industry will pay. The positive rappers, they're not going to be promoted by the industry. So there is a system behind it.
Well,
I mean, there is no one flow.
But they're not being promoted because nobody's buying it. If people bought it, I am pretty sure, you know, I mean, look at Nas. Nas is pretty, you know, he's pretty positive, and he sells, but people just don't consume positive images.
That's a good point. But if you keep on putting that garbage out there, eventually people are going to, keep hearing it over and over and over and over again. This stuff is sinister, and it does go, it does seep in, and if that's what they're hearing and that's what they're promoting, then that's what the people are going to buy. I mean, so
I guess it's like an argument which came first, the chicken or the egg. But I mean, these same people who's being promoted here in America, I mean, they still go to other countries and do the same thing. You know, I mean, they still go to other countries and rock out a stadium, you know. Eminem is just not popular in the U.S. He's popular worldwide. So, I believe that, you know, if people wanted positive stuff and it sold, you'll have a market for it. At least one market. I mean, two markets. Or, I mean, out of thousands of markets, you have, like, not one or two people decided, like, you know what, I'm going to do a positive rap major label. It's just people just don't consume
I
listen to rap and I don't consume it. You know, I don't consume positive rap. You know, it just doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know why the other rap appeals to me. Maybe because of, you know, where I grew up and how I grew up, but it just doesn't. And I try to be a positive person. It just doesn't.
Well, I guess what it is that it's simple and plain. It's not complicated. Filth sells. The dirt,
right.
Dirt sells. I mean, I guess I'm more in the wishful thought mode, you know, wishing that it was not that way, wishing that it was different, wishing that this, and hoping that the positive stuff can get out, hoping that more positive shows can be on and that to tell them would be more promoting, you know, to that. But, and, you know, that's back to that positive world statement again. And not any perfect world. And this ain't the perfect world. So,
I mean,
you got me on that one,
Hey, I'm with you on the same boat, though. I wish there was more positive stuff on.
Yeah.
I wish there was more people tuning in to, like, Sesame Street, you know, or whatever stations, you know, can promote positive images.
No.
Just...
Come on, back up a little bit.
But, yeah, I wish kids consume more positive stuff, you know, just like I wish there was a war, you know, people paid attention to more positive role models. It's just, you know, sometimes you just have to be a realist.
We have a caller calling on. We're going to get Brother Jimmy Williams on. I see. I know that's Brother Jimmy Williams because we do our Monday night show together. So here we go.
Okay.
And we'll get Brother Jimmy Williams to chime in. And Brother Jim, are you there?
I am here and listening to the show, man. Congratulations on this puppy, man. It's going to be huge. I want to comment on the music industry.
You got it.
One thing that we have overlooked in the music industry is our history. Keep in mind, Elvis Presley, he didn't just come out of nowhere. He was manufactured. Yet hillbilly music was selling from hillbilly artists, country artists at that time. I'm only going as far back as Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley did not get popular doing his own thing. He did not get popular singing his own stuff. How did Elvis Presley get popular? Singing black folk music. And at that time, it was Negro or race music. They did not want to play it on the radio because that's not what they wanted to put on their airs. Or the sponsors wanted to put money behind. They didn't want no Negroes on their payroll, if you think about it. It wasn't until some of the brothers back in the 50s, like a James Brown or I can think of some other black artists that owned their own studios, they owned their own masters, and they owned their own songs, and they were able to get their music out there. It wasn't until those particular artists back in the day, like Little Richard also, wasn't able to come up with a contract that gave them control of the direction of their music. Going back to Elvis Presley sung black songs up until he went to the Army. And then after he came out of the Army, he started doing movies, and he had a song for every movie that he did, but they weren't black songs. Because Elvis Presley got popular and got rich from doing black songs first. The same artist that could have did their own music on the radio, they were not permitted to be around that kind of money, that kind of attention, and that kind of uplifting. When the music would hit the radios and the airways, blacks were not allowed. It wasn't that they couldn't do it. They just weren't allowed. So control is everything. This system would not let you control. This system would not let a black person control its own destiny. Fast forward. The Emmys. White artists are topping off the rap charts. Who in the hell told you one day that LL Cool J, Rakim, or some of these guys is going to be knocked off the charts because of a white rapper? Now keep in mind, they tried that with Ice Baby, whatever the hell his name is. They tried to pump him to the deal. Now, keep in mind, Eminem, the boy got skills. The boy got chops.
Let's clear that up.
It wasn't until, It wasn't until he hooked up with Dr. Dre, until he got on his own and started doing some stuff, that was still up there, right around up there with creativity in that realm of Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Rakim. These guys stand out. A lot of other artists do stand out, but these guys stand out because of their style. Going back to Elvis Presley, do you realize how many millionaires would be here now in the music industry if they were able to have a decent contract, a decent way of distributing their music and holding their audience? Now, if these people that listen to the Negro or the race music back when Elvis Presley was putting it out, and they listen to the original artist that did it, do you realize how many black millionaires there would have been in the late 50s, early 60s in the music industry? They blocked them out.
So what about today's music? Are you saying that I was kind of saying earlier that the Lil Wayne's, they get promoted and they get through, but Brother Jesse was saying that, you know, there are positive rappers, but you know, they're at home rappers, you know.
The system don't stop at just music. They stop at the way we walk, the way we talk, what we're going to think about, and how it's going to be presented. Now, they presented us in a way that a lot of white folks are just totally scared. Okay, Gangsta Rap came out with N.W.A., and it took off and went whatever the hell it went to. Half the stuff they got out now, I don't even understand what the hell they're talking about.
I agree.
But that's the image that they wanted to portray. They couldn't just stop with just the music. They had to vilify every artist that came out with something that was very creative. I never did like Gangsta Rap. I never did like that angry stuff. I never did like it. But some of that angry stuff was on point. And the only ones that I really could think about at this time was what's that group with Flavor Flav was in? What's the name of that group?
Public Enemy.
The name Public Enemy itself was threatening. The music that it came out with was more like on the realm of, just imagine Malcolm X rapping. That's who
it was. Right, it was more political.
They didn't want that. Oh, yeah, they put it out there because they made a shitload of money.
That's my point.
But then you had, then when you get to the point where the president comes out and start talking about a rap group, they hit something. Something, it hit a nerve. When you got the president of the United States vilifying a rap group from the hood.
Yeah. They did the same with Sister Soldier.
Yeah, as Sister Soldier also. She was articulate to the point where she understood what was going on, and she knocked it out the ballpark. She came on point.
Yes, she did.
Don't want that. The system do not want that. It's either with his music, style, or the message, and then you get down to the business end of it. Distribution, the contracts, the masters that they own, the music that they put out. The system wants to control all this stuff. To me,
it's being force-fed on people to the point where it's just repetitive, repeating over and over again, making these kids feel that they're cool, that this is cool, that's cool, that, you know, they're big, they're grown, they're mucho macho, whatever, and we buy into it. I mean, we definitely, they put it out there. Yeah, that's true. The industry does that.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head when you said, when you use Public Enemy as an example. They push Public Enemy, even if they don't want to. That's kind of irrelevant. The point is they pushed it because it made money. And I think that's the bottom line. In this country, it all comes down to the dollar. And if there were people out there that they could push, whether they agree with the message or not, or they wanted it out there or not, if there was people out there they could push and make money off of, somebody would be pushing it.
They are not going to push too many black artists with a message.
They would not allow them to
I don't think they would have a problem with it.
Let me say this. They wouldn't allow these artists to get into a position to where they would start making money.
A lot of them are making a lot of money.
But there's some that's making money, but those that are being pushed are those who are putting out the dirt. I've heard the rappers talk about, some of these rappers talk about how they've been in these meetings with the executives and what they are told they want their material to be reflecting. And that's what's out there.
Yeah, but what else they're gonna say? That's what they're putting out there anyway. What else are they gonna say about poisoning young people's minds? You know, it's easy to blame somebody else. I don't know. Like I say, I think it comes down to which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's kind of like a circular debate just keep going in a circle over and over.
Well, we're kind of doing that now. But there's definitely a system. There's definitely a system that is out there that is designed to do exactly what it's doing. And we're buying into it, but it is systematic. It is systematically applied, and we're eating it up. That is through the movies, TV, the video games, the news, church, all of it.
I think that's a lot of energy to put into 10% of the country. It's a lot of research.
My whole point is that there's definitely, I will always believe, and I know there's a lot of folks who do it, that there's a system out there that is designed to do exactly, and even with the school system, it's designed to do exactly what it's doing. Not all of them, but plenty of them are just conveyor belts to lead to the private industry prison system. Brother Jim, you still there?
As far as schools are concerned, keep in mind, this is just my opinion. The unions are part of the problem. Part of the problem. Because anytime you have a failing teacher at a high-end school, the system is going to get them out of there and put them in a place where nobody's going to see them, nobody's going to say anything, nobody's going to get angry. Ooh, we got a new teacher. Where did the teacher come from? Those questions are going to get asked. Okay, we got a new teacher. Where did the teacher come from? What made this teacher leave the other school that teacher was at? What was his, academics? Why did he leave that other school? The reason that teacher left the other school and showed up at a black 50% of the time, they fucking assholes. They're probably on drugs. They're probably pedophile.
Well,
they probably got on the principal's nerve or something. They weren't doing their jobs, and they know damn well if they're in the union, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to get kicked off that union's payroll because they're paying into the union. They're going to kick them over to a black or a brown school, and they can keep their jobs and constantly keep putting their money into the pot. That's why our school is real. They don't think we can get bad teachers.
I think this goes back to the parents, man. How about the parents just taking active role in their schools, in their child's academic life? Something has to give. I would agree that we see union issues. And that's one of my biggest gripes about the public school system is that the teachers' union won't allow you to get rid of bad teachers, but also the parents have to be involved in what's going on at the kids' school. You just have
there
to.
There are a lot of parents that are involved with the school. We don't see it because they don't talk about it.
I'm not talking about the school. Not being involved with the school, but taking charge of your kid's academic career. If your kid is struggling in school or struggling to be on grade level, then do something about it, instead of complaining about the school system. The school system is what it is. It's probably not going to change. It'll probably be like that for at least the next 100 years. Eventually, you have to take control and make sure your child don't become a statistic.
Okay,
I'm gonna get on. No, but we coming to the time, and I want to finish up some stuff with brother Jesse. But go ahead, make a point though.
Parents don't have the time that the system has. You're saying that the parents got to take control. The parents are doing the best they can under the situations that they're put in.
Most of them
are trying their asses off. And then they got to send the school. Then they got to take their kids. They can homeschool their kids if they try. Then they got to send those kids to a system that really don't give a shit. But the system has more time on their hands than the average parent does. So the parent gets frustrated. It's only so much the parent can do. Because they will tell the parent anything to get them off of their docket for the day. They're not going to encourage the parent to step in and help with the situation that they got. On their docket, they got to get their kid in there, get their federal matching grant money, and call it a day. They don't give a shit about this.
I agree 100%.
They don't care
about
the parent being involved. The parents are involved. They just don't talk about it. I went through this a lot with every public school that my kids were in at the time. Parents do get involved, but the system will tell them whatever they want to tell them, and then when it gets too hot, just like they brought in the brand-new superintendent of public schools, when shit got hot, they kicked old boy out of there and brought her in there, and now all the parents are saying, well, we had this already in place with this. Well, we got to go over and we got to study all these complaints and whatnot over again, and then we'll come back to you and give you a solution. Now, all this frustration is built up. All this disenchantment is built up. Now the parents are saying, "What? We got to go through another 3.5-4 years to deal with a new superintendent, and we already made a deal with the old superintendent. Why can't you just deal with the problems that we sent to the old superintendent? It's already there in black and white. Deal with that." They want to study it. That means they got time on their hands. In a sense, they're saying, "Fuck you. We're going to do what we want to do." That's why we got charter schools right now.
I get it.
The parents are involved. I mean, just because we don't hear about it every day, just like we hear about everything else, the parents are definitely involved. They're just frustrated, tired, and they don't have as much time on their hands as the system does. By the time the system come around to their complaints and deal with their complaints, the freaking kid then graduated and got out of high school. That's a whole problem they ain't going to have to deal with. Okay, that's me, y'all.
Yeah, I hear you. The school system definitely, to me, needs to be restructured. They need to, a lot of mental classes, psychological classes need to be added, especially from kindergarten all the way up, as far as I'm concerned. Conflict resolution, anger management, critical thinking, self-respect, sensitivity training. And we got to get these seeds early, you know, and let them understand that people can, you know, what things that you do can hurt people. They need to understand that games are just that. The television is just entertainment, you know, but they're not teaching them. They're not teaching them. They're just passing them. They're just passing these kids to get them out of their face, you know.
I wouldn't disagree with that. But my only point is, if we are aware of this happening, you know, the teachers spend 6 to 8 hours with a kid a day. If we are aware that these things are happening, this is when the parent has to step in and do something. You can't just throw your hands up and be like, oh, well, you know, you might have to sit your child down and be like, look, you're not reading at school, but you're going to read when you get home. You're not doing math at school, but you're going to do math at home. I mean, that's what I mean by the parents get involved. I'm not talking about being involved with the school system. Of course, parents go up to schools, go to meetings and things like that, but you can't sacrifice your child while you're trying to figure out the system or waiting on the system to fix itself.
The bad thing is the parents being kids, too. Hell, it's almost like they need to be reschooled. They need some kind of program that they need to attend to be damn parents, because these kids that are parents, man, they're fighting over the control for the PlayStation, you know. The kids can't get the game because the daddy got, you know. So, You know, I hear you both, man.
I can agree with you.
And there's no one resolution. There's no one problem. You know, but there's multiple. We got a bunch of them. You know, we could package them and sell them. Probably see it for $10. You know, shit. But wow. Okay. While Brother Jim's on, let me just say that, like I say, we do a show on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Jimmy and I, it's been Jimmy's idea. Jimmy, he thought it up. I bought into it. I'm on there with him. I kind of tend to take a back seat. But I talk also, but it's real people from the hood on this same blog talk station every Monday night, 7 o'clock. And you all want to connect with Jim. He always has some good conversations. So, and Jesse Evans also. I'm sure that both these brothers would mind you hooking up with them on Facebook, Jimmy Williams and Jesse Evans. They'll friend you. You guys will friend, right?
Yeah, I got a public on Facebook, so anybody's welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been losing a few, man, with this God thing, man. I'm gonna be honest with you, but I'm game. I'll friend anybody.
Yeah, me
okay.
too. Anybody can listen to me talk to myself.
So. Oh yeah. And of course, y'all want to get way out there with me, you know, just hook up the Keith Flex, so I'll friend you. But like you said, I have a tendency to be a little tough critic, and I'll debate you. But I tell you, I speak, the only thing I'm an expert on is how I feel, and that's what I put out
right.
there. That's what Brother Jimmy Williams puts out there for himself. That's what Brother Jesse Evans puts out there for himself. You know, so it's all about conversation. You know, we reach a respectful medium, and that's what it's all about. And that's also kind of what I'm trying to encourage kind of by this show, that we can talk about it without somebody kind of going off on the other because you have different points of view, you know. And if you're wrong, face up, man up, and adjust.
Right.
You know? Of course, neither one of us is ever wrong, but in case one of these days we got
I was wrong once last year.
So, brother Jesse, let me ask you, because I wanted to get, what did I have here? I have my notes. I'm drawing a blank here. Let me ask you this, because Brother Jimmy and I have talked about this before. As far as, I've been seeing a lot of postings on Facebook pertaining to, you know, Al Sharpton. You know, lately, and everybody seems to be jumping up and down, and you know, causing a sellout, so whatnot. And I don't have a problem with him. You know, I mean, I don't think he's doing anything to harm black people, and I believe that he has to stay within a certain circle in order to have that TV show and radio. That's fact. He can't get out there, like stay within that. But we, at the same time, I don't think we should be looking for him to do all the things that people are saying he's not doing. No, there's plenty of other people who can take up the slack on that. What do you think about? Do you have any opinion at all about Brother Al Sharpton?
Yeah, I think the easiest answer is that black people are just not a monolithic people, and we don't all march to the same drum. We don't all think the same. You have black Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Christians, Muslims. Atheist. I mean, they're all over the board. So, I mean, the people that Al Sharpton speak for, you know, I'm sure they still feel, I mean, they're still in love with him. But there's a lot of other black people that he just don't speak for or don't, you know, are not part of the demographic that he's reaching, you know. And that, I think that's, you know, to think in 2015 that black people still need, like, a black leader to speak for the whole ethnic group is just why we have it as probably this fallout. Same with Jesse Jackson. You know, I mean, people are starting to think for themselves and want to speak for themselves. So I think
that has
a lot to do with it.
What I mean is, my thing is, you know, let them do what they do. Let them do what they do, and I'm trying to do this little piece of crumb that I'm trying to do, and that's to try to just stimulate some conversation, get people to think outside the comfort zone, consider other ideas, and think about, you know, what you learned and some of the things you believe, because some just put more power to the people.
But one thing I will say about Jesse Jackson is I think a lot of people consider Jesse Jackson a person that used the black flight or plight to line his own pockets. I think a lot of people believe that. And Al Sharpton, too, they believe that they're using the black plight to continue to put themselves on TV, to continue to make money, to continue things like that. So I don't think I believe it was Jesse Jackson who went to Ferguson, you know, a lot of the protesters were like, you're not wanted here, you're not welcome here, you know.
And these are people supposedly he's
supposed to be speaking up for. But I know a lot of people were like, why are you here? You know, so it might be either time for them to sit down and let somebody else rise up in a spot, or, you know, maybe it's time that black people don't have one voice for all concerns, you know.
I thought the people in Ferguson, I thought we were very disrespectful to Jesse. That's just my opinion. It was very disrespectful. But anyway, Brother Jim, share your thoughts on that, brother.
Al Sharpton.
Okay.
Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Cornel West, Dick Gregory. All these guys got to eat. They're salesmen. Yes, they started out doing their thing for the black folk. They can give you their opinion about black folk, and people have sought them out to get their issues across to a majority of black folks, depending on how much money they've been given. Dick Gregory is the only one that I can take out of that equation, because I really listened to some of his stuff that he says, and the stuff that I have listened to was on point. But when you get to the point where you got all of these people that are not worshiping you, that are following your every word, and you got the system looking at it and saying, okay, how can we reach the majority of black folk in one stroke? Let's get Jesse Jackson. Let's get Al Sharpton. Let's get Cornel West. Cornel West surprised me when he went down to Ferguson. Did some dumbass shit, got locked up, and you ain't heard nothing else from him again. That was a photo op.
Maybe he's still locked up.
That was a photo op. He only went there. He got the money to go down to Ferguson, stood in line, got arrested, and you ain't heard nothing else from him. We haven't heard anything else from him because they're not going to put his thoughts and whatever on the air about that. But these guys got to eat. Yeah, make your money. You know, the Jesse Jackson, when he really opened my eyes up a few years back when he sued Nissan or somebody for not having enough black workers. I think he got like $90 million or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ever since then, he done slowed the fuck down. Ever since then, he hasn't been impacting like he used to. It ain't hardcore. It's down the middle, soft, cream puff. It's not making any freaking sense to me like he was at one point, like Al Sharpton was at one point. Cornel West, this brother, he wants to be in the limelight. That's why he's always trying to attack Obama on some crap.
Yeah, Cornel West, as far as I'm concerned, Tavis Smiley, they must have really swallowed some bad juice from Obama. they just think they have it in for him since day one, brother. And I mean, just to the point to where it's, dude, chill. You know, I understand everybody ain't going to agree with him, but these guys have been like, on a mission.
They want their like, Bill O'Reilly. They want their Bill O'Reilly money. That's what they want. They want to be able to spit out something about this president and not being black enough, not dealing with black issues enough, not. He's the president of the freaking United States, not president of Harlem, not president of Inglewood. He's the freaking president of the United States. Let that man do his thing. Yeah, he may be a puppet of the special interests. He may be that. But
on
he's
that
the
note,
president
brother, we
of
get,
everybody.
We're getting around to the 90-minute mark. I want to go ahead. We want to make it give a allow for closing statements. We'll start with Brother Jim. You want to make a closing statement quickly? Then we'll get to Brother Jesse, and I'll close it out.
No, that was my closing statement. Y'all do your thing, man. I just wanted to call in and put my little
piece
in there.
I really
enjoy this show. I really do. I really do. I like what you're doing for me, and I like what you're doing, man, as far as executive producer. And I hope at one point, this is my closing statement, I hope you can find a woman that can do a show and be as open and vocal as she needs to be on women issues.
I have one in mind.
I hope you found one.
Lady,
I hope you found
a young
one.
A young lady out of New York. She don't even know that I even have her in mind. But I have her in mind. I'm going to be getting a hold of her, and I'm going to hope to get her on the show. She's down earth. But Jesse, go ahead and give us something to work with, brother. Let's close up.
Well, what I will say is hopefully my biggest thing that I think people need to really consider is somehow getting a third party on the platform. You know, I always talk about this, always preach about this, but there's just no way in the world two parties can represent 400 million people. It's just not possible. And we'll keep going back and forth with these two parties until there just has to be another party. I don't really even care what it is, but you have to spread out, you know, the imagination. You know, something has to give. It has to get better. We have to have 3, 4, 5, 10 parties. And as long as we only have two parties, we'll keep complaining about the same things over and over. Not saying three parties are going to be that much better, but anything is better than two. Anything is better than two, because when you have two parties, you essentially just have one. And that's pretty much what we have in this country. And, you know, even with the current president, who's a Democrat, you know, the wealth gap between the rich and the poor is still growing out of control. And, you know, it'll be 8 years and no change. You know, some of the things may be like a stopgap, but the train is still going, and we just have to get more people involved in the political system. We have to get more options, and I think that's the only way we're going to see changes in this country.
All right, brother. I'll just say that be entertained. Watch TV, the movies, be entertained, but read between the lines, and we at least understand what they're trying to do. That doesn't mean it has to do it, but I believe there's definitely a system out there that is designed to do exactly what it is doing to the people. It is feeding it into it. Yes, we're buying into it, and yes, they're feeding into it. Like Brother Jesse said, maybe it's the, you know, first the chicken and the egg. I don't know. Maybe they came at the same time because they both happened. But on that note, thank you, Brother Jesse, for coming on for the second time. I appreciate it, man. We'll keep our debates going, and we'll keep agreeing and disagreeing. Brother Jim, thanks for calling in, man. We'll do our show coming again, Real People from the Hood. Every Monday night, we'll be on this Monday night coming up at 7 o'clock. It's raw, and it's as it says, Real People from the Hood, and we keep it like that. So on that note, I want to say that in the name of spiritual power, peace.